Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park. Producer Nate Vaughn, as usual, is by my side, and we're here to talk about this big Vikings, Seattle Seahawks wild card playoff game that's coming up on Sunday. A fun weekend of football ahead of you Vikings fans. On Saturday, you get the two AFC games, 3:20 and 7:30-ish about. And then on Sunday, you get the two NFC games, which starts with Vikings and Seahawks at noon. Packers at Redskins will follow that. Of course, the game you care the most about is the Vikings and Seahawks game, a game that will be played at TCF Bank Stadium. Sunday, kickoff is at noon. And if you haven't heard, it's going to be cold. It's going to be cold on Sunday. Right now, as Nate and I look at our weather apps, a high of 3 degrees and a low of -2, but we've seen that fluctuate throughout the week. I'm sure it'll change more so. Earlier in the week, I saw a low that went as low as -10 degrees. Right now, it's at -2. We'll see what happens. Mostly sunny, winds west to northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour, a 10% chance of snow. It's the humidity that you always want to care about. It's not so much the heat, it's the humidity, we always say. Humidity at 77%, and the UV index is a 1 out of 10. So there's the full weather report. We go to our weather correspondent for the Wobcast, producer Nate Vaughn, who has more for you on the weather. Nate, it's going to be cold on Sunday.
It is going to be cold. I just want to make sure all our fans understand that it's going to be cold and come to the stadium prepared.
Right. Well, they might not have heard, you know, it's kind of been a storyline that we just haven't heard much about.
I haven't seen it much on the news. It hasn't been in the paper. It hasn't been online. So I am concerned. I just hope everybody understands that it's not going to be 67 degrees outside.
Right. We're here to raise awareness for what the weather will be on Sunday.
Just doing our part.
Right. Because if you haven't heard, it's going to be cold. If the forecast holds, folks, it will be the third coldest game in Vikings history. So it's historically cold. And listen, January is the coldest month of the year every year in Minnesota by and large. So, you know, so what? It's going to be cold. But this when it comes to playing football games in this is going to be a historically cold game in Vikings history, the third coldest for sure. If the real temperature is colder than what they're forecasting, it could become the second coldest game in team history. So for those of you who are going to the game, prepare accordingly. For those of you who aren't, congratulations, you'll get to watch the game while you're warm. Speaking of warm, the Seattle Seahawks are red hot entering this playoff game, Nate. Like, when you look at their numbers, like some numbers in certain categories, it's mind-blowing what some of them are. Points per game over the last seven games, 32.0, number one in the NFL. They're converting over half of their third downs in the last seven games. They're unbelievable in the red zone. They're number one or number two in red zone offense and third down offense and first down offense and points per game. They're number one in the NFL in rushing yards per game. This is all over the last seven games, and that's without Marshawn Lynch. They're getting Marshawn Lynch back. And so this is a team that's very easy to like going into the playoffs in terms of their form and how they're playing. But you're right, Nate. The Vikings are also in good form. The Vikings are a much different team right now than they were in Week 13 when they lost 38-7 to the Seahawks. And they're in much better form. They are healthier because Linval Joseph, Anthony Barr, and Harrison Smith should all play in this game. And Linval did not start or play in the game against Seattle in Week 13. And then by the 11th play of the game, the Vikings were without Anthony Barr and were without Harrison Smith. So you can crinkle up that defensive game plan and throw it out the window if you're the coaches on that day. So very different game coming up on Sunday between the Vikings and the Seahawks, and it should be a lot of fun. It is going to be cold, no doubt about it, and that cold's going to affect both teams. But whichever team can put that aside and start fast, play well, is going to have the advantage. How the cold factors in, it'll be interesting to see. We're actually going to have NFL Network's Steve White on a little bit later in this Wobcast. He's going to talk, we're going to ask him about the cold. He's going to talk about it because he'll be reporting from the field for NFL Network, so he's gearing up for it. He's been paying attention to it. He's been talking to people about it. We're going to talk to him about that later in the Wobcast and get his take on that and the rest of the matchup between the Vikings and the Seahawks. Later in the Wobcast, we'll get to over-unders, we'll get to a fan question, and then we'll wrap it up with a few talking points. But first, Nate, I want to throw it to you. Player we should be talking about, who you got this week?
Normally, we try to have it be a pretty secretive player, mm-hmm. a player that almost nobody really is talking about. This guy, people are starting to talk a little bit more about because he's been a lot more involved. But I think it bears talking more about is Jerick McKinnon.
Yes.
He's been active in giving Adrian a few breaks here and there more often than he was earlier in the season. And he's also been a lot more active in the passing game, and I'm sure Teddy has been a fan of that.
Yeah. In the last three games, Jerick McKinnon, Nate, 18 carries, 9 receptions for 231 total yards and 3 touchdowns in the last three games. So you're exactly right on what you were saying, and that does not take into account a 24-yard kickoff return he had last week against the Green Bay Packers, where Mason Crosby kicked it short on the ground to avoid Patterson, and McKinnon scooped it up and advanced it 24 yards. So McKinnon's impact has come most profoundly with the offense in the last three games, but all year he's been a producer on special teams in the blocking game for us, but of late it's been in the box score on offense, and he's really been a nice change of pace. And I've noticed that Norv is calling more plays with Jerick in mind. They've run a jet sweep with him. They threw a go route deep down the sideline to McKinnon on the third play of the game at Lambeau Field. Teddy misfired on it, overthrew him, but McKinnon was wide open, so they're incorporating Jerick more into the offense, which has been cool to see. A player we should definitely be talking more about, a good call by Nate, and a player hopefully we're talking more about next week because we're playing a game against Arizona, and Jerick was a big part of the victory over Seattle. That would be great. Let's hear more about this Vikings and Seahawks game coming up from some outsiders. Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks took a look at the wild card matchup and told us how they think the Vikings can win.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky here on Wild Card Weekend. Buck, let's look at the NFC today. Two great matchups. First of all, which one are you looking forward to the most?
Seattle, Minnesota. I just want to see if Seattle has all the stuff that they need to be able to get back to the tournament.
Funny you said Seattle, Minnesota, because that's where we're going to start. We're not going to say who's going to win this football game. We're going to tell you if this team wins, this will be the reason why. And I'll give you the floor first to talk about why the Seattle Seahawks are going to win the game, Buck.
The LOB is back. The Legion of Boom is back. The defense is back to being a dominant unit. When I looked at the numbers, I know we heard so much about the defense falling off. First in the league in scoring defense, second in yards per game allowed, and second in pass defense. And so when I think about the Seattle Seahawks, their defense is the unit that normally carries the water. I mean, the stats there, we saw the first time they matched up against the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, 118 yards allowed, 7 points allowed. There you see the quarterback rating, had an interception. Richard Sherman is still playing at a high level. 2 interceptions, 14 passes defense. Part of the reason the Legion of Boom is playing well is because Richard Sherman has continued to play like a dominant player on the edge.
Look, I know they can cover like crazy, and I think they'll be able to cover up these Minnesota wide receivers. Now we'll see how they tackle in this game. That's going to be a challenge for them. But I'm going to take the other side of it and say why the Minnesota Vikings will win this game. If they win, I think it'll be largely because of their head coach and Mike Zimmer and the adjustments he makes from that first meeting to the second meeting. Russell Wilson kind of tore them up in the first meeting. I think now you'll see Mike Zimmer adjust to that. Buck, we each talk to people all around the league. You talk to coaches. Mike Zimmer, as a defensive mind, maybe as well respected as anybody, and I'm including Bill Belichick, everybody in that mix, he is that highly regarded. I think they have something a little special cooked up to try and slow down Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I think they have to slow down Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson picked him apart. They also have to find a way of slowing down Doug Baldwin. Had a big game against him the first time out.
But Russell Wilson and Eric Kendricks matching up in that game with Seattle and Minnesota. But look, Russell Wilson's been on a tear this season. Really belongs in that MVP discussion. Doing a lot from the pocket, but then you know things break down. He has that ability to create. Eric Kendricks, look at him blitzing. He's one of the best blitzing young linebackers in the NFL. Try and get some pressure on Russell Wilson, then to be able to contain him if Russell Wilson tries to take off when things break down.
You know, these teams are carbon copies of one another. Physical defenses like to run the ball, quarterbacks that can get it done. I'm curious to see how this Vikings defense steps up. I'm looking forward to seeing Kendricks take on Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and look, they had Newman had a couple shots at some balls, just missed it by a little bit. Maybe that cold weather slows that football down a little bit. We'll see.
Everybody.
Yeah, we'll see it. We'll see how they react. But the other side of the ball for them that's going to be helpful is that this Minnesota front going to get after them on defense. I like that. I like that matchup. I think they'll be better with Zimmer's adjustments. But flip it over to the offensive side of the ball and Adrian Peterson. I don't know what Marshawn Lynch's health is going to be like, but I do know number 28 for the Minnesota Vikings is going to be 100% healthy. It's going to be frigid outside. He is Superman with what he can do. He's going to step through a tackle. He can make you miss, and you know he's going to finish each and every run. So defensively, I like the adjustments they make on the offensive side of the ball. Go ahead, load up the box and slow down number 28. It hasn't proven to be successful this year. League's leading rusher.
The 28 has to be their best chance to move the football. One Achilles heel for the Seattle Seahawks in the past has been teams that were willing to line up and smash the ball. They have success. If the Minnesota Vikings are able and committed to giving Adrian Peterson 25 to 30 carries, I think that's the best recipe for them to have success against this defense. The defense is stingy, but you got to wear them out. You got to be committed to wearing them out over the long haul.
Man, it's going to be cold. I'm glad I'm going to be sitting on my couch. I'm going to have a blanket on just watching that game.
These teams are built to play in this kind of weather. Teams that are built around a physical running game, a physical defense. This should be a slobber knocker. Also, now I'm looking forward to watching this game play out.
We're going
to
stick with our friends at NFL Network and bring a guest into the Wobcast. We don't always do that, but we're going to do it today. It's a big game, so we need a big episode of the Wobcast, and we're going to bring it to you. And a guy who's going to help us is NFL Network's Steve Weich. You can catch Steve all across the NFL Network. He is a reporter for them every Monday. He is on the network's The Aftermath at 2 p.m. Central, talking about the action that was over the weekend in the NFL. You can also catch him on Sunday, this Sunday. Steve will be live from Minnesota for NFL Network's NFL Game Day First at 6 a.m. Central and NFL's Game Day Morning at 8 a.m. Central. We bring Steve in now. Today, we're going to get Steve to talk about the Vikings, a team, everybody, that we'll leave it up to Steve to say it's near and dear to his heart, but it's certainly a team and a franchise he's familiar with because Steve is a Minneapolis native. So who better than Steve to help us talk about this Vikings-Seahawks playoff game? Hey, Steve, welcome in. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, I am a native. And let me just state it clear. I'm objective now. But when I was living there in the 70s, during some of the heyday years, I just loved the Vikings. Chuck Foreman is my favorite Viking of all time.
Cool.
Yeah. So it was great. Great. They made my childhood a blast. The Purple People Eaters and everything else.
That's pretty cool. Did you ever make it to Met Stadium?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. My father used to take me to Met Stadium to see Vikings games. Not quite as cold as it's going to be Sunday.
No.
But yeah, we used to go see the Vikings games with Fran Tarkenton and Alan Page and Carl Eller and Twins games there with Tony Oliva and Rod Caruso. So I've got a lot of good memories growing up on Xerxes Avenue over there right by the Worth Golf Course.
Wow, Theo Worth Golf Course. That's awesome. Yep. Man, you know, and probably not a lot of Vikings fans know that about you, but now they do as they watch you on NFL Network. They'll know that you have that history with Minnesota. That's pretty cool. Now, you mentioned the temperature, Steve. That's obviously been a huge storyline all week here, and it will be throughout the weekend, and you'll be talking about that because this Sunday you'll be live from Minnesota, as you said, for a bunch of hours on NFL Network's NFL Game Day starting at 6 a.m. So I'm sure they'll be going to you early and often, considering it's one of just two games that day. Now, if the Vikings win, Steve, they go to Arizona. So imagine the temperature difference game day on Sunday compared to what it would be in Arizona. But speaking of temperature differences and growing up watching the Vikings, how about the difference in temperature when you go to a training camp practice to watch the Vikings in Mankato compared to what it's going to be Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's 80s and 90s degrees there. It's hot everywhere in training camp. That's, you know, that's why it's a grind. That's what you, the players, talk about. The best part about training camp is leaving.
Yep.
Because of the heat, because of the damage. And there's no way to really prepare for, you know, what we're going to be dealing with Sunday. It's cold, but often, you know, we as non-athletes or non-officials or non-staffers, we don't spend 3 or 4 hours in it. This is where, you know, the fans gear up. I love how Mike Zimmer said to tailgate, meaning basically to get a little bit of that liquid warmth in your system.
Yep.
So they can come out. But yeah, I mean, look, this is going to have an impact on everything about the game. I mean, at some point you're going to think about it, and the tough guys will pull through it. But I've covered many games in very cold temperatures, and you can obviously tell players who don't like playing in it, quarterbacks who don't like throwing in it. Kickers hate it because it's like they're kicking boulders.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll have an impact, and I just hope all the fans, you know, dress accordingly and do everything they need to do to stay warm, so there's not any extreme cases of health issues there.
Yeah, I mean, the team announced that earlier in the week. You know, there's going to be, like, you know, Caribou's giving you hot coffee. That's going to be complimentary. You got hand warmers that are handing out. Mariucci Arena, which I'm sure you're familiar with, is going to be opened as a warming house before the game. So I mean, this is not hyperbole here, this cold weather. This is not like 25 degrees. This is going to be extreme cold. Now, for you, Steve, and your role with the network, when they're going to you on game day morning, what are some things that you're going to be talking about? Obviously the cold, but what specifically do you think are things to mention? Is it field conditions? Is it what the teams did to prepare for it all week? What kind of stuff are you going to be talking about?
Well, absolutely. When we talk about the cold, it'll be some of the things, you know, which players feel comfortable going, you know, with no sleeves. You know, linemen don't like to wear sleeves.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be mainly dealing with the Seahawks. Stacey Dales will be dealing mainly with the Vikings, but how they prepared for this, if the Seahawks are going to be bringing anything extraordinary. They play in cold weather too, you know, to help them stay warm. So, I mean, those are some of the elements. But, I mean, the main things we'll be talking about is just the effect of the game. You know, mm-hmm. And if there's wind, you know, you heard Mike Zimmer talking about it. If there's wind, how that tends to have, you know, more of an impact on the game than the cold. You just have to get through it. But, you know, when I used to play, you know, I didn't play in the NFL, but, you know, when I used to play in the cold in high school and college, I mean, you hated it. Your fingers get mashed up. A lot worse when they hit the ground or someone steps on them. I mean, it's not comfortable. But look, these guys get paid to do it, and both teams are having to play in it, so it's not like one side has an advantage.
Yeah. You know, when you look at the Seahawks, Steve, and you kind of get, you know, you read through some of their stats in the last 5, 6, 7, whatever number of games, and you just try to start to get a feel for how they're playing and what they do well. I mean, I don't even know where to begin with this group, with how well they're playing, and the numbers they're putting up are just amazing over the last 7 games. They're 6-1 in their last 7 games. Russell Wilson's passer rating is over 130 in those games. His touchdown to interception ratio in those 7 games is 24-1. I mean, where do you even start with how well this team is playing right now?
Well, I mean, I think you start, as you said, on the offense. I mean, this is a team that's known for its defense and it still has a top scoring defense, you know, in the NFL. So they haven't lost anything there. But the fact that Russell Wilson is playing so efficiently, keep in mind, they did this without Marshawn Lynch and for a good chunk of this without Thomas Rawls, who hit the Vikings up for 100 yards rushing and a touchdown when Seattle came there and put it to Minnesota earlier. So they've really diversified the offense. I think the majority of the credit goes to the offensive line. I think it was for the first 6 or 7 games, Russell Wilson had been sacked 31 times. Now, I don't even know if that number's in double digits. They tinkered and did some things there. They're really protecting Wilson. He's clearly comfortable playing from in the pocket and outside of the pocket. So the receivers are playing well. Tyler Lockett has really emerged at wide receiver to go with Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse. Mm-hmm. And you know, now they get Marshawn Lynch back. And who knows if he's going to be able to carry it 20, 25 times, but I don't think he steps on the field unless he's ready to bulldoze. Those legs could be fresh. Yes. So, you know, Seattle's coming in here on a roll. They're a very, very dangerous team, but by no means is this game going to be as one-sided as it was earlier in the season when things got out of control pretty early and they basically took the ball out of Adrian Peterson's hands. I think it was a totally different ballgame.
I hope so, because that game certainly 38-7 did not go the right way for the Vikings. You bring up Marshawn Lynch. What do you think, Steve? I mean, you know, as you said, the Seahawks have been rolling on offense without Marshawn Lynch for 7 games. Now possibly he's back playing. How does Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator, a guy who was the offensive coordinator here in Minnesota and did a great job, how does he, how do you mess with that? Because
I honestly don't think he does.
Okay.
You know, I think some of the reps that were being split between Brown and Fred Jackson, most of those go to Marshawn. But I don't think you augment the play calling.
Mm-hmm.
I think what you were doing, you just have one guy running the ball more as a bell cow instead of having 2 or 3 guys kind of share the load. I think that's the only difference. They're rolling. They're averaging 32 points a game over the last 7 games. I don't think you tinker with that too much.
I'd like them to do a lot of different things. That's what we would like here in Minnesota. Just completely change it up because what they've been doing has been working. The staple of the team over the last few years, or really over the last 4 years since they've been number one in scoring defense, has been defense for this franchise. And it looks like all the heavy hitters are going to be able to go. I know some of them have missed some practice time of late, but I think everyone kind of expects them to be full go and healthy. You know, we've seen, Steve, a lot of teams overplay the run when they come in and play the Vikings. Do you think Seattle will do that on Sunday?
No, I mean, they're so disciplined against the run. Nobody runs against them. And as you mentioned, Cam Chancellor's coming back. He missed the past 3 games with a bad pelvic bruise.
Mm-hmm.
He's back. And they're just going to drop him in the box. they're going to dare Teddy Bridgewater to try to beat them with the receivers on the outside against Sherman and Lane and Shedd, and they've got Earl Thomas playing center field. So, you know, I think Minnesota's real. I think Kyle Rudolph is really going to have a strong game. You know, Seattle's been hot and cold against tight ends, so I think he's really going to have to play well.
Okay.
But, yeah, stopping the run, when you've got Bobby Wagner, one of the best middle linebackers in the game, right there playing behind Brandon Mebane, defensive tackle, and then you've got Cam Chancellor coming down the box right behind him. You know, they're going to stay disciplined to what they do to try to keep Adrian Peterson in check again. You know, as long as, you know, they feel as long as they don't let out any leaky runs, you know, any 11-yard runs or 15-yard runs, they'll be able to really control things defensively. That's what they've done. They're great open field tacklers, the best open field tackling team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And that's really another thing that gets overlooked as far as their effectiveness.
When you get a team like this, Steve, that's so confident, you know, you almost feel when you're their opponent, I think certainly the Vikings fan base and dealing with them the way I get to, you know, they feel as if, hey, our team is being overlooked by this team. But what's, you know, the fine line between just being supremely confident and then really overlooking a team? Seattle seems to walk that line perfectly where they're not overlooking you. They're just confident in ourselves. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, look, they're coming in as a wild card. They're not coming in as a division champ like Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So trust me, that's what they think. This is a team made up of third, fourth, fifth round draft picks, undrafted players. I think they have more than 20 undrafted players on their 53-man. So these are guys who come up a certain way and have a certain chip on their shoulder. So they tend not to overlook anybody. I think early in the season, that was one of their issues, is they got a little bit out of character. A lot of guys got paid. They thought they arrived. And then they lost ball games. And they said, well, we have to take a step back and get to where we've been. And that is playing with a chip on their shoulder, thinking that they're being overlooked. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think this is a team that's looking past anyone. I think they're incentivized by great player leadership, by having guys like Michael Bennett and Cam Chancellor and Russell Wilson. Unbelievable amount of leaders on this team who can pull it together. So I think that's the case, but I think the Vikings are the same way. Now, they don't have the playoff experience that Seattle does, but I think with the leadership of Mike Zimmer and having a guy like Adrian Peterson, who knows he doesn't have much time left, and some key players, you know, like a Kyle Rudolph, even a young player like an Anthony Barr, I don't think in any way they're fazed by the fact of Seattle's pedigree and the fact they're coming in here on such a roll.
Yeah, I agree with that. It should be an awesome game on Sunday. Steve, you're part of NFL Network's NFL Game Day First, which airs at 6 a.m. here in Minnesota, and then NFL Game Day Morning, which is at 8 a.m. Central. Tell us a little bit what you guys do on those shows, how you're incorporated, and what kind of gets talked about, because Vikings fans should take interest in it, especially this weekend. There are only 12 teams alive, and fans love it when their team is the one being talked about. On your guys' broadcast on Sunday, you're going to talk a bunch about the Vikings. So break down for us a little bit how you guys operate on Sunday mornings.
I haven't seen a rundown, and it's majority of a studio show in terms of Rich Eisen as the host, Michael Irvin and Marshall Faulk, the Hall of Famers. Kurt Warner, who's going to be a Hall of Fame finalist, is on the show as well, Steve Mariucci. But they will come to us field reporters probably once or twice an hour to kind of get the latest. We'll be there Saturday as well, too. I'm going to be doing some hits from Minnesota Saturday because we're also prepping for the AFC playoff game. So we're just going to give everybody a dose of kind of what's going on. As I said, I'll be dealing with the Seahawks. Stacey Dales, who's a great reporter, will be dealing with the Vikings. So we've been gathering information all week. And, you know, we'll be just kind of letting everything spill. And me, I'm very big on reporting what will impact the game. I don't care so much about what that Seattle's won, you know, six or seven games and are on a roll. Everybody knows that. I want to tell my viewers what's going to happen since my job as Seahawks, from Seattle's perspective, to try to win this game. Things that they're going to try to do. And, of course, things they're going to try to do to deal with the weather conditions. But that's what we do. We try to let the fan and the viewer know what's going to happen, what's important. We always try to put ourselves in the fan's chair. If you're buying a ticket or if you're taking time out of your day to watch us, we want to make you seem relevant And I think that's a big part of why our pregame coverage is so fantastic.
Yeah, that's really cool. You can also catch Steve Mondays on NFL Network's The Aftermath, where they tell you what happened and why it happened and what might happen next week. And that's every Monday at 2 p.m. Central. You can also catch Steve on Twitter, at Wyche89, W-Y-C-H-E-8-9. You can catch Steve on Twitter there. One last thing before you go, Steve. I'm not going to put you on the spot and make you predict the outcome of the game, but I want you to tell us what you think the Vikings need for a point total to win on Sunday. How many points do the Vikings have to score on Sunday to come out with a victory over this very good Seattle Seahawks team?
Yeah, I'm going to think they're going to need 23 to 24 points. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the key is ball security. We know this ball is going to be a mess. They cannot turn the ball over because Seattle's incredibly opportunistic and they're one of the best takeaway teams in the NFL. They can't have dumb penalties. You know, they can't put themselves where they're in a third and two and get an illegal procedure penalty and be in third and seven, because then that's what Seattle is after. So they've got to be disciplined. They've got to be very sound. Teddy Bridgewater's going to have to make plays as well. You know, doesn't have to be throwing the ball. He can make them with his legs, because we know that Seattle is going to sell out to stop Adrian Peterson. It's a huge test for Teddy Bridgewater. And someone has to step up. As you know, the playoffs are where players are defined.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't come down to coaching, doesn't come down so much to toughness, it comes down to discipline and select players stepping up when they have to. So some guys, be it Everson Griffin, be it whomever, Xavier Rhodes, whomever, they have to step up and they've got to make a play at a poignant point of the game.
Talk about two really physical teams and physical running backs. That should be a fun thing to watch, too, on Sunday, don't you think? Yeah, old school football. Hey, any old spots here in Minneapolis area you're going to hit up when you get here, Steve?
No, because I was about 10 years old when I left. And I think Farrell's Ice Creamery back, you know, I don't know if that's still around, but that was my spot when I was about an 8 or 9 year old.
It's awesome. You'll have to go investigate. if you can brave the cold outside the stadium, you go and investigate that. Travel safely, Steve, and stay warm on Sunday. Everyone will tune in and watch you. We'll see you at the stadium. We're very appreciative that you took some time out of your busy schedule to join us. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on.
Okay, see you, Steve. Fun to hear from Steve, get his perspective on the game, a national perspective on the game. Certainly, as Steve said, he's an objective reporter for the NFL Network, but he is a Minnesota native, so he's got some pretty cool stories from the Vikings. It's always fun to have him around the team. He comes here once or twice a year to cover some storyline regarding the Vikings, and he'll be here this week and this weekend covering Vikings and Seahawks, so fun to have him on the Wobcast. Okay. Let's talk more about these Seattle Seahawks, and to do that, we're going to go to Three Threats, where producer Nate Vaughn has identified three threats from the Seahawks we're going to have to worry about on Sunday. Who you got for this?
Threat number one is, you guessed it, Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, he's been very hot the last half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if it was our game that it was his first big game, but it was around that time, mm-hmm. and he's been hot ever since. So what can the Vikings do to slow down Russell Wilson, at least have him have a little more of an off day than he did earlier in the year?
Yeah, I think the keys are to keep him in the pocket. He's very good at escaping the pocket, and there are two things he does particularly well to accomplish that. One is this like reverse pivot where he leaves the pocket like from the back side of the pocket, reverse pivots out, goes back 5, 10, 15 yards, loops out to buy some time, and then he can throw on the run while he's moving forward rather than throwing on the run while moving sideways. He's very good at that. He can do that because of how athletic he is and how elusive he is. Most quarterbacks don't have that athletic ability, can't get that done. So he's very good at that. The other thing he's good at is a lot of times, you know, when you're rushing four guys with five offensive linemen, you're rushing four, there invariably is going to be a lane, or there could be two or three lanes that are going to be open because you're only rushing four. Russell Wilson is adept at finding those lanes and stepping up into those lanes, tucking the ball and running and picking up first down. So he's very good at that. So that's what you got to do with him. You got to contain him, make him a pocket passer. He's still good in the pocket, but you'd rather have him throwing from the pocket than throwing on the run. He's averaging 273 passing yards per game and has a passer rating of 132.8 over the last seven games. No doubt he is one of the big threats the Vikings have to pay attention to on Sunday.
For the second threat, I originally had Richard Sherman, cross that out and put Earl Thomas, cross that out, put Cam Chancellor, cross that out and just put the Legion of Boom, their whole defensive secondary. That's the moniker they gave themselves and go by. They've earned it from the beginning.
Well, I think when you give yourself a nickname, but then
it's taking a gamble.
But yeah, but then it sticks and everyone uses it. That's pretty cool.
That is successful.
Yep, that's how you do that. And they are legitimately the Legion of Boom, and they bring the boom, and they've been doing it for 4 years. Number one scoring defense in the NFL for the last 4 years. Now they do that. They have a great middle linebacker in Bobby Wagner. They have great edge rushers in Michael Bennett and Bruce Irvin. And they have great defensive tackles, as you heard Steve Weich talk about earlier in the Wobcast. So it's a good defense overall, but the identity of this defense, Nate is right, is the Legion of Boom corner Richard Sherman and a pair of really good safeties in Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas. Now, Earl Thomas can do everything really well, and he's been playing of late, hasn't missed any games. Cam Chancellor has been missing games, but when he does play, he brings the boom. He's an in-the-box defender primarily. He's intimidating, and Cam Chancellor really is at the heart of what the Legion of Boom is, and that is a group of players that don't only produce, but they have an aura, an intimidating presence where it's intimidating to go across the middle on them. A lot of teams won't even throw it Richard Sherman's direction because he's so good. Cam Chancellor kind of the leader of that, and he'll be back. He'll be playing in this game. So the Legion of Boom at full strength on Sunday.
And finally, he hasn't done much the last few weeks because he's been inactive, but because he apparently will be active for this game, he's definitely a guy we have to talk about. It's Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
A guy who's made a few playoff runs with the Seahawks before.
Yes, he has. Experienced, good ball handler, ball security not a problem with him, breaks tackles, north-south runner, can catch the ball, complete true threat at running back, really no weaknesses. And, I thought it was interesting. Steve Weich was very certain that, you just keep rolling doing what you're doing. You throw Marshawn Lynch right into there and just, I'll be curious to see how Darrell Bevell handles that. I don't question the Seahawks' ability to stay hot while incorporating Marshawn Lynch. I just know it's something that's not easy to do. You have to do it right when you're rolling as an offense, but then you throw in such a key player. I'm just going to be curious to see how Seattle handles that. Something tells me they're going to handle it just fine because they've been to the last two Super Bowls and they all know what they're doing over there. But yeah, Marshawn Lynch, he is a beast. That's why they call him Beast Mode. All right, Nate, let's go to a fan question. I understand you've pulled one aside. Someone asking us something about the game. Hopefully it's not weather related because I'm sick and tired of talking about the weather.
Well, this is from Todd.
Okay.
He's from South Dakota.
Okay.
He says he has a suggestion for the Vikings.
Okay.
Since the Seattle cornerbacks, which we just talked about, are so aggressive on every team's out patterns. So he's been doing his research.
Okay, I see.
Watching the All-22.
All-22 guy here.
Since they're so aggressive on the out patterns, please, can we do some double moves to open things up?
Ooh.
He thinks something as simple as this might work, especially when it's frigid outside, when he assumes Seattle will be jumping on all short patterns. He says, I realize it will take time for these type of plays to develop, but I am interested in your take.
Wow. Great email.
That is a great email.
That's a great email. He's covered all the bases. Honestly, he really has. He's covered all the bases because, he said, I understand this takes time. So he's acknowledging the fact that a downfield passing game requires not just throwing the ball deep and getting open, but pass protection. You need time to be back in the pocket to get receivers to get open down the field, and that's been an inconsistency for the Vikings offensive line this season is pass protection. Now, I think they've gotten better, and I expect them to continue to get better. And really, a good sign is the Vikings are the only offensive line in the NFL to have all five guys play all 16 games. So the synergy should be there. The communication should be there. You got one game on tape of Seattle, and now you're playing Seattle again. I love this email question and suggestion by Todd. I'm all for it. This is an aggressive defense. They're relying on teams going to the short passing game to avoid the pass rush and to try and make safer throws. And in the right moment, at the right time, I love going with a double move and being aggressive and answering aggression with aggressiveness. I love that take. It's a great idea. I hope we have time to do it. And if we do, it wouldn't surprise me if Norv Turner dials up a deep pass or two and Teddy pulls the trigger on it.
Now it's time for you to be aggressive in over-unders.
Okay.
We're wiping the slate clean for the playoffs below 500 in the regular season, but this is what counts.
Yep. I'm like... I'm like the few years we've had it where a sub 500 team has made the playoffs because they've won their division. That's what I am. I'm one of those sub 500 teams that won their division, but I still made the playoffs, and I'm looking to surprise and shock the world right now.
Seattle, one of those teams a few years ago.
Yeah, they were. They beat the New Orleans Saints in the first round in a home game. I remember it. I remember right where I was when I was watching that too. And that was kind of where beast mode became beast mode, if you remember the run heard around the world. Yeah, anyway, so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go 3-0.
Well, I hope so.
Thank you.
I hope you go 3-0. The first one is tackles by Vikings rookies.
Mm.
So a combination one here.
Okay.
You know, Eric Kendricks finished the regular season leading the Vikings in tackles, the first rookie in a long, long time to do that.
Yep.
So he's been very impressive, especially as the year has gone on. Danielle Hunter always seems to be disrupting things in the defensive backfield. And you have Trey Waynes, Anthony Harris, and Edmund Robinson, to mention all of the names.
On special teams.
Right.
Yeah.
So if I put the over-under at 8.5 tackles between all rookies, would you take the over or the under?
I'll take the over. Oh. I think it's a good number, but I'm over on this, and here's why. If I piecemeal it together, I could go like, well, Kendricks with 5, we'll give Hunter 1. Waynes would be 1. Gets me to 7, and I think Harris and Robinson can team up for 2. But so that gets me right to the number. But I think there's a chance that like Kendricks could have 8 or 9 or 10 by himself because he's playing so well right now. He's going to be on the field a bunch in this game. He's a 3-down linebacker for us, and so I'm on the over on this. I think it's a great question because the Vikings rookie class was sensational this season. Really, it was. I mean, these are all guys who can be in on tackles, but let's not forget about Stephon Diggs, you know, who had a great season. So, cool question. Good number on the over-under, but put me on the over.
For the second over-under, we're going to look at kick and or punt return touchdowns in this game. You remember when we played Seattle in Week 13, the only touchdown we scored was Cordarrelle Patterson.
Oh, wow. Was it really?
Yeah.
That's right.
And if you look at the other side, Tyler Lockett is tearing things
He's
up.
He's awesome, yeah.
For the Seattle Seahawks, he was the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week in Week 17 and also the Special Teams Player of the Month in the NFC this past month. So he has one punt return and kickoff return touchdown this year. He's in the Pro Bowl as a rookie. That sounds kind of like one of our guys a few years ago.
Yeah, it does. Guy who'll be in this game.
That's true. So if we put the over-under at 0.5 total return touchdowns in this game, what would you say?
I'm going to go under.
Under.
I mean, no doubt the possibility is there and more so than normal because of the two guys that you mentioned. But, you know, and the Vikings lead the NFL in special teams touchdowns since Mike Prefer joined the Vikings in 2011. Of course, you have Tyler Lockett, who's one of the better rookies we've ever seen, returning kicks. So the possibility most certainly is there. And adding to the possibility is the cold weather, because you're going to have a higher probability for not very good punts, which hurts the coverage team, and you're going to have a lower probability for touchbacks on kickoffs, which is going to give these guys more opportunities. But I'm going to go under on this. I think that Mike Prefer, our special teams coordinator, the Seahawks special teams group, they're going to be very aware and very buttoned up on all of this, and you're always trying to prevent them, but I think it's almost like, I remember when we played Devin Hester. Now, Devin Hester housed a bunch of them on us, so maybe this is a bad point, but like whenever we played Devin Hester, it was like, you know, special teams did different things to try and contain him. That's what both teams are going to be doing to the other team, and I think it's going to work this time around on Sunday.
Finally, for the third over-under, I don't know if you've heard, but it is actually going to be pretty chilly on Sunday.
Weather will be a factor Sunday.
Yeah, it'll be an outdoor playoff game here, which we haven't had in quite a while.
Uh-huh.
So that's unique.
Got it.
But it also means it won't be very warm because it is January.
So yeah, it's pretty cold in Minnesota in January. So it could be cold at kickoff on Sunday.
It might.
Yeah.
Let's say if we put the over-under at 2.5 degrees at kickoff Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Would you take the over or under? Just saying that makes me shudder.
Fahrenheit?
Yeah.
Or 2.5?
Yeah, just saying the temperature.
Yeah. I'm under.
Oh, God.
Yeah, okay. I'm under on this. I think it's going to be 0.
0, okay. So but, also a prediction.
But under. I'm under 2.5. You know what? I was going to say this earlier in the Wobcast when we were first talking about the weather. Earlier in the show, we were talking about the weather because it might be cold. I don't know if you caught that part. But the forecast right now says it's going to be sunny. So super cold, but sunny. And you know what's cool about that is, actually, you know what's warm about that is the Vikings sideline is the sunny side of the field. The Seahawks sideline, well, yeah, it always is. For us. The Seahawks are on the side of the field. Their sideline is in a shadow that's created by the tall part of the stadium. So hopefully it's sunny, because if it is, that will only benefit us on the sideline.
I like the way you're thinking.
And by us, I mean all the players and coaches and you, because you're actually on the field. I'm in the radio booth. But in my defense, we do have the window open in the radio booth.
Yeah, okay.
It's not the same as being down there, though.
No,
right.
Not quite. I'm going to choose my positioning of the camera very, very precisely.
Yeah, you should do that. But I'm under on this one. I'm under 2.5 degrees.
All right. So over 8.5 tackles for rookies in this game, under 0.5 punt or kick return touchdowns. And let's not forget Marcus Sherrills. We didn't talk much about him. But
yeah, he's good.
He has a punt return for a touchdown also this year. So you took the under there. And you took under 2.5 degrees at kickoff.
Yep. By the way, I like your note on here. Vikings.com research staff has found the predicted high is 3 degrees. Nice. Our research staff is so good.
We're on top of it this season.
Yeah, they're really good. I got a couple of points to close the show, if you don't mind. Speaking of cold, Everson Griffin is hot right now. And he has never sacked Russell Wilson, okay? He had two sacks of Aaron Rodgers last week, one of which resulted in a fumble that Captain Munnerlyn returned 55 yards for his sixth career defensive touchdown that gave the Vikings a 20-3 lead. The Vikings won the game 20-13, put all that together, and that was the game-winning score that Everson Griffin started with that sack and forced fumble. He had two sacks last week, had 10.5 for the season. That is back-to-back double-digit sack seasons for Everson Griffin since he signed his big-money deal with us last offseason. Two off seasons ago, 22.5 sacks over the past two seasons, and I love his matchup against Seahawks left tackle Russell Okung. I think it's favorable for Everson. Okung has missed the last two games because of a calf injury. I don't know how that's going to go for him. And no disrespect to Russell Okung, who has taken sixth overall in the same draft as Everson. I think he's a good player, and he's obviously helped Seattle win a lot of games. But I love this matchup for the Vikings. Everson Griffin on Sunday. Chasing Russell Wilson. Get to know Austin Shepherd, folks. No Rhett Ellison. It wouldn't surprise me if the Vikings try and establish the run even without Rhett. And if they do that, maybe they'll go to some heavy personnel. And that's what they did against Green Bay, which is why I mention it, is Austin Shepherd came into the game against Green Bay from time to time. And get to know him. 6'4", 327 pounds, backup offensive tackle for us. Could play a little bit in this game. Seventh round pick. Last year, out of the University of Alabama, where he helped Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide win two titles, so he's got big game cred. Certainly not big game cred in the NFL, only in college, but a guy who knows what it's like to play in big games. And he might be a guy who finds himself out on the field on Sunday. Who knows? We'll see. And lastly, I just wanted to read this in all sincerity for those of you who are going to the game. It's going to be cold. So due to the cold temperatures expected for the game, the Vikings are asking fans to plan accordingly and be extra cautious for the game. So here's what's happening. Free hand warmers will be distributed in the fan zone and at entry gates for those folks who want to rely on the hand warmers, and for those folks who don't bring their own, or even for those of you who did bring your own but you want an extra one, go to the fan zone. You can get a free hand warmer. Caribou Coffee, my favorite coffee place here around town, is providing free coffee in the fan zone as well. The fan zone is located on Oak Street outside of TCF Bank Stadium. So go to the fan zone, Oak Street outside of TCF Bank Stadium, for some free coffee from Caribou Coffee and for some free hand warmers to keep those digits warm. Also beginning at 9 a.m., Mariucci Arena will be open and available as a pregame warming house for fans.
Wait, isn't there ice in there?
Right. So it's ironic, actually, that, it's so cold.
Did we think this through?
It's so cold that the ice arena is being used as the warming house.
Maybe they'll have ice cream. Or shaved ice.
Right.
For people to snack
ice
on.
Aplenty in the warming house.
Split on Sunday. An icy, perhaps.
Right. Additionally... folks, you can bring blankets to the game. In fact, I encourage you to bring blankets to the game. And I don't go to games and sit in the stands, Nate, but apparently if you bring styrofoam or cardboard or a newspaper and set that on the floor and put your feet on it, it helps your body temperature stay a little bit higher.
I don't understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the ground is, the cement is cold. And so you put your...
People go into the games barefoot?
No, but I don't know. I'm just... Listen.
Okay. No, you gotta be, I'm sure.
You got to be so sarcastic. I'm just telling you what's in here. Okay?
Okay.
So for more about all that, folks, if you missed it, you couldn't weed through Nate's sarcasm, go to Vikings.com. All of what I read plus more is there. Some tips on how to stay warm if you're going to the game. So the game is Sunday. The game is at noon, and the game is against the Seattle Seahawks. It's a wild card round playoff game for your Minnesota Vikings, their first playoff appearance since 2012. And if they win, folks, we get a reprieve because we go to Arizona to play the Cardinals. They're the 2 seed. We're the 3 seed. So there's no other team we could play if we win. It's the Arizona Cardinals in the divisional round playoff if the Vikings can defeat the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday. I think we covered everything for now. Anything else to add?
Just bundle up.
Why?
It's going to be pretty chilly.
On Sunday?
It's kind of cold now, but it's going to be really cold.
I'm going to go to some store and buy a face mask. Like, you know, like one, like not like a face mask on a helmet, but like, right. Yeah. I don't own one, so I'm going to get one.
That'd be a good investment. It gets cold up there in the press box.
They don't have that in the press release. Wear a face mask.
We need to revise this.
Right.
We should talk to the PR guys after this.
Yeah, we will. Okay, that's it. We're going to be back early next week, hopefully talking about a Vikings playoff win over the Seattle Seahawks and then briefly previewing what's going to come ahead for the week and the Arizona Cardinals game. So on behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. We're going to talk to you early next week. But until then, have a great weekend, everyone, and enjoy the game on Sunday. So, yeah!